Welcome to the Lead Worship World podcast. My name's Christian and I am part of the team here at multitracks.com. Today's special guests are Henry Seeley and Andrew Holt from The Belonging Co. in Nashville. You might remember that Henry and his wife Alex were the first ever guests on this podcast a couple of years ago, so it was amazing to revisit conversations today as The Belonging Co. celebrate 10 years of being a church. To mark that special anniversary, the church have taken 10 songs that they released over the last 10 years and reimagined them for a new album called 10. In today's episode, we talk about why they chose the songs that they did, the approach they took to re-recording them, but we also talk about worship leader pastor dynamics, what it's like to lead creative people, and how The Belonging Co. have fostered such a special culture of teamwork there in their church. So sit back and enjoy this conversation with Henry and Andrew from The Belonging Co. Well, Andrew, Henry, thank you both for being on the podcast today.
It's great to be here.
Thank you for having us, man.
Really excited. It's been a while since we've connected either on Instagram Live or a podcast conversation. Great to see you both on the screen today.
Glad to be here, man.
It's been really cool. Well, we're going to talk about the new album, 10, but also the last 10 years of life at The Belonging. I'm really excited to ask you some questions around that today. But Henry, first question, it's deep, but it's kind of high level as well. What is God saying? What's he doing? What's the themes that are playing out in church life at the moment?
Yeah, obviously, we've just celebrated a week or so ago our 10-year anniversary as a church, which is so crazy to me that we're already 10 years into this. It's been a wild ride. And, you know, really to look back and see all that God's done in such a short amount of time, obviously decades, a long period of time, but also it just feels like it's gone so quick. You know, so that really has been the kickoff for our year, just really celebrating this last decade and just so many things that God has done. And really leading into that, you know, I shared with the church actually last week this phrase that I felt God drop in my heart, from here to eternity. And just a reminder that, you know, even though we're present here in this moment, it's not just about the here and now, but, you know, everything that we're doing, both as a church body together and also as individuals as part of that community. Just this reminder that, you know, there's an eternal perspective here that I think sometimes we can easily lose sight of in just the chaos and the craziness and just the mundane of everyday life. We can sometimes forget, you know, that there is an eternity that is not just the other side of death, but actually eternity starts now. And so it's been good. It's been a good season for our church just to be reminded that, you know, every space that God has put us as individuals is an opportunity for us to have an impact for eternity. And we don't have to wait on that. That starts right now. And so that's really where we're at as a church right now. It's been fun.
That's so cool. Well, congratulations on 10 years. That's amazing. I think you and your wife were actually our first ever guests on the podcast for multitracks.com.
No way.
That was in that COVID era when everybody was doing podcasts. So like, what can we make Christian do? Let's put him on a podcast and get him to talk to people. And we covered a load of the story, I know then, about the origins of the church. Andrew, where in the history of the 10 years did you come into the life of the Belonging Co., Belonging Co. come into your life? And where on that journey did you join the church?
Yeah, man. My wife and I, we started coming, I think it was 3 weeks after Pastor Henry and Alex left their basement. On a Tuesday night in March of 2014.
Okay.
And God started changing our lives. And even I had an encounter that first night that honestly marked me. And we just started coming for a season, just attended. And then I started volunteering on the team 2015 and then came on staff in 2016. So it's been a gift, man. I mean, honestly, I've said this a couple times, but I feel like the past 10 years I've grown up in a lot of ways. I was 21, I think, when I first came to Belonging, which is wild. And God's just done so much, not only obviously as a church and as a community, as a congregation, but even in my own life. I've gotten married since I've been here. I had two little girls since I've been on staff even. And so I count it just the highest honor and greatest privilege that I've been able to be a part of what God's done in our city. But even what Pastor Henry was just saying, I feel so similar. Like, it's just the beginning, you know, like we've seen such amazing things and we're grateful and we're thankful, but it feels like we're still just getting started. So yeah, man, we're expectant and excited, but yeah, honestly feel the same, like crazy. There's been a decade. I can't believe it.
It's wild.
It is really crazy. It feels in some ways like you've been an influence for so long, but in other ways it feels like it's been
a relatively short space of time. I think I told both of you on previous occasions, I was a worship leader in the UK and Zeal particularly was one of the songs that we grabbed hold of in our church. Awesome. And I remember when we connected, we talked around some of the genesis of that story and told you how that connected in our church. And then I got to attend in your church when you were in the temporary building. I think it was Super Bowl Sunday. Robert Madu was speaking.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years,
I think it might have been.
And then a couple of years later in your new building and around the worship together time. So yeah, it's incredible from a distance seeing what God has done in the church and hearing the stories.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Really cool. Awesome.
So the new album that's come out, obviously, is a celebration of the 10 years. It's called 10, and it has 10 tracks on the album, which are the quintessential kind of songs for your journey and your history. So question number one is, how on earth did you go about selecting just 10 songs? And how did you select those 10 songs?
Yeah, that was a fun journey. You know, obviously we knew we were coming into our 10th anniversary.
Right.
And it was probably 6 months before the birthday weekend that I just had this idea in my heart of, hey, what if we did something special? To be honest, we weren't even going to release this as a full project.
Wow.
I actually had thought about actually just doing these 10 tracks and giving them out as CDs, you know, to the church. And then people were like, listen, the label's going to love this. Yep. People are going to love this. Streaming's going to love this. So we need to actually, you know, do something proper with this. But, you know, obviously we have, you know, so many amazing producers in our music community. And, you know, I've had the privilege of producing the 6 live albums that we've done in the last, you know, 7 years, I guess, since we started releasing music. And that's been amazing. But it just felt like there was, you know, another expression of creativity that our team were just busting to release. Yep. And so, you know, I had this thought of, rather than, you know, just re-recording 10 live versions of songs that we already have great live versions of, let's do something different. And so I gathered some of the team together and some of the producers and some of the worship leaders. And we really kind of just talked through what feels like the most significant songs.
Okay.
In people's lives. And, you know, I think we've released over 90 songs in that
really?
Time period,
wow.
maybe almost 100 songs. So trying to find the 10 that we all loved and agreed on out of all of that. And some of it, you know, just came down to streaming numbers and CCLI numbers and things like that, that obviously were good metrics to see where those songs had kind of landed.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, we just felt like these were 10 songs that really reflected the heart of our house, and 10 songs that people had loved. And so, you know, we went at it. And there was a couple of curveballs along the way. I think Just the Mention was number 11 on the original list of 10. But we had another song in there that one of our other worship leaders was planning to do. And just because of, you know, everyone's crazy schedules and touring and things like that, it didn't happen. And so there's a couple of last minute inclusions. And so a couple of songs that almost didn't make it over the line.
Yeah.
The album called 10 almost only had 8 songs at one point.
Okay.
We worked hard to make sure that there were 10 on this record. So yeah, it was a journey.
Great. And Andrew, this is the Belonging Host's first studio album. Is that right? The other albums you've done previously have all been live versions. How did that change the whole dynamic recording, creative kind of freedom that you had going into a studio project?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely way different for us on every level. But I even love what Henry just said. Like, it was so fun to bring some different people into the mix, some different producers in our house who have been a part of it, whether they're playing in the band or they've written songs, but maybe never gotten a chance to actually produce something for church.
Yeah.
So I think you feel that even in the album, like there's such a beautiful like diversity and not only in songs, but also in sounds and creativity. And I think it was fun for all of us to kind of explore that space a little bit and get a chance to like not only reimagine some of these songs, but bring a new, fresh sound to even our house and the music that we've released. So yeah, it's super fun. And I think even for me, it felt like a little bit of a different engagement because usually I'm so involved, you know, getting overdubs and all the stuff going on at the back end. I literally told Steph Sanchin, who helps us, I was like, I feel like I'm hearing these songs for the first time like everyone else. Like it was a really cool experience for me. Yeah. I know Henry, probably not the same exact feeling, but you know, like it was so awesome to kind of hear it all and hear what our team had come up with. And I feel like it really represents our church in a really special way.
Yeah. I kind of did that intentionally, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like the whole team were the same way. They were like, we want to hear this. And I really wanted, because I think we had 5 or 6 different producers on the whole record. I said to them at the start, actually, I don't want you to be listening to somebody else's, you know, take on something and then think, I got to fit it in this box. I've got to do something like this. Yeah. And so, you know, when I met with them, they were all like, this album could be crazy, you know, eclectic. And I was like, I don't care. I want it to be whatever you feel like is stirring in your heart. Let's do it. You know, let's dive in. And I honestly, I think some people took some songs into some realms that they maybe wouldn't have felt as bold to if they had been trying to make it fit into some other project. So, you know, obviously from track one to track two, Hazeel to Come Alive, you know, it's a pretty different vibe there and then throughout the record. But, you know, I think people are used to that. I mean, that's how people listen to the radio. Yeah. People listen to, you know, to stuff on iTunes. It is all over the place. And so that for me, I wasn't too concerned about it having a particular sonic thread. I just really wanted the team to have some scope to have fun with it and enjoy it.
It's really interesting to hear you say that. I think that's my reflection as I listened to these 10 songs is that they obviously capture so much, I think you said, Andrew, diversity and different kind of expression that's happening at the church. But it didn't feel like this random collection of songs either.
Yeah, totally.
There's some really kind of like themes and experiences that seem to pull all the way through the 10 songs. And again, I think sometimes we default to a live recording to capture that sense of worship and live and experience in the room. That really translates in this song. There's some like incredible moments of kind of sensing God's presence in the recording and in the listening to it that, you know, credit to you to be able to do that, capture that and have that play out in a studio album as well that way.
Yeah.
It was really cool. So how about sequencing the songs? How did you go about putting them in order? Because they're not in chronological order either, are they? Was that complete random? Did you have conversations about that? If you've got this eclectic mix and you're narrowing down to 10 songs, where do you put each song in that journey?
Yeah. It's kind of throw paint at the wall.
See what's going. Okay.
I knew that Zeal needed to kick it off for a few reasons. One, because I just love Robert and Josh's reimagining of that song.
So
just
great.
Such a cool vibe. And it just felt like, you know, Zeal was what started it all for us. And it felt like that's actually a really good place to start. And just the mention felt like it was kind of, you know, not an island by any means, but it definitely felt like it was like Zeal's at one end and just the mention's kind of at the other end and everything finds a home somewhere in between. And so from there, it really was just trying to figure out what worked well. Yeah, I had a couple of iterations of it. We really didn't have a lot of time on the sequencing side of things. This project happened pretty quickly. And there were a couple of songs that, you know, the final mixes got turned in the day of mastering and just a few things like that. Brilliant. So it was a wild ride.
What a great journey. So much fun. Yeah. Did doing this studio approach unlock some more creative freedom for you, Henry, in the producing of it? Did you see that play out? Would you have...
Yeah, and it was a different record for me because I didn't have a lot of hands-on, you know, I was really executive producing more than producing. Yeah. I kind of gave everybody just liberty to go there. And so for me, it's the first record where I really haven't done any real production work on it at all. The most involvement I probably had, you know, obviously spoke some direction into some of these songs. Yeah. Sarah Reeves did an amazing job of producing that version of Isn't He? Yeah. And it's actually one of the first things that she's produced on her own. Wow. And so it was awesome to watch her, you know, find her wings and really soar with this. So there was a couple of things that we, you know, we just talked through and added just a couple of small parts to that. But she, you know, she did a phenomenal job on that. Just the mention, I probably had the most to do with just the mention. I'd had a thought of, you know, obviously the original version kind of leans into the gospel realm a little on the original live version, but I just had this feeling of like, hey, we could probably take this, you know, to the next level. Yeah. And so I had called Bernie and said, hey, what if we did actually originally just piano and organ and vocals? It was going to be kind of like that. And then the closer we got to it, Bernie was like, I really think Aaron Lindsay would be amazing if he could come and play B3 on this. And so Aaron, you know, has worked with Israel Houghton and a bunch of people in the gospel world for a long time. Just an incredible man of God. He came and put his hand up to play B3 on this. I think it was the day before, but he was like, you know what? Maybe it doesn't need piano and organ. Maybe it needs to be organ and drums. And so we reached out to Chris Strada, who played drums for Torin for a long time. And so Chris was in town. He just showed up at the studio and Aaron and Chris just basically went in and laid down a couple takes and it just found its pocket. And so it was actually pretty exciting to be in the studio as that was all unfolding. And it was just really the two of them laying down this track. And we just, you know, we didn't really go in with a lot of preconceived ideas or hooks, production ideas or anything like that. It really came to life in the studio. And so it was a pretty cool moment.
Amazing. So Andrew, when you look back over the 10 songs, was there any song in particular that was really special for you to revisit, that as you came back around the song, it kind of brought back memories or kind of this reflection of a really important season of your time at The Belonging?
Oh man, can I answer every single one of them?
Go for it.
No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, I think Peace Be Still was one of those songs for me because it was one of the first songs I was a part of writing for church.
Okay.
And it's had so many seasons. We literally joked, this is the song that never dies. It's the song that keeps going, you know? But it was so awesome to hear, first of all, Lauren Strom's or Lauren Sloat's version of it, because she brought such a fresh take on it. A lot of what you hear was a lot of her vision, which was really awesome. But then to hear Mia be able to sing on it, she was a part of writing it with Hope and I. Yeah. Like when she comes in, like literally when they first sent it to me and I listened to it, I was like, Mia, when you start singing, something shifts like immediately.
That's amazing.
It's so powerful to hear her voice on something that she was a part of writing like that. And really was her idea from the beginning. So I love that. I love just like that song personally for me has just been so impactful in my family's life. And that for me is one of the most special ones. And now we were joking the other day that I have to do a version since everyone who's a part of it has written. Maybe I'm the next one. I'll do like a country version of Peace Be Still.
Yeah, oh, well, wait, well, yeah, wow. We're waiting for that one. It's really
bluegrass version.
A bluegrass version would be incredible. It really is a special version on the album.
Oh, it's amazing.
I was listening to the album and then I'm playing it again today just while working, but there's something about that version you just have to stop and you're like, I can't be doing something else while that's also going on, and just like fully pulls you into all of that moment. Yeah. So yeah, incredible version. Yeah. Really, really special. Amazing. Andrew, another question for you that's not on the original list, but whenever I chat to you guys or your team, there's always such a strong sense of team and dynamic around all that you do there, which is incredible to see. So we chat to lots of worship leaders that don't always have the best relationship with the senior pastors. And sometimes we have senior pastors that know or feel that they know a lot about worship leading. And there's this interesting dynamic. I can imagine on paper, it's quite intimidating to have a senior pastor, leader of your church, who's also record producer, great worship leader, and sits in that space. But you guys have obviously found a really great way of working together. What can you tell me about that? And what advice and lessons can you give to other people that are navigating through all that comes with the tensions of leadership in that way?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a great question.
You're on record. You're
on sitting right here. Don't mess it up. No, I think for me, I mean, I shared a little bit of my story of, you know, how I came to The Belonging. And for me, Henry and I's relationship started before we'd even met, because I'd walked into this church where he was leading worship almost every week. He was leading the church, being the pastor, and God was literally changing my life. And so I automatically felt like I had this relationship. And then when we did meet, I feel like we instantly connected on such a deep level, but also a friendship level. And I'm thankful for that. And I always tell people one of my favorite things about my season here at Belonging is that I didn't accept the role as worship pastor because I put in my application on a website or I sent in my resume. Yeah. Honestly, if Henry would have saw my resume, he probably wouldn't have hired me because it wasn't much. But I became this because it was my church first, and I started serving our church before it was ever a position or a job. And so I'll never forget those, or I'll be thinking about this a lot lately because we're celebrating 10 years and those early days of just going over to Henry's house and, you know, us going to get Chipotle or building a road case or all these things. And I think for us, for me, and hopefully for him, like we've built this relationship, this friendship, you know, that's so, is the bedrock of who we are and our relationship. And I think for me in the early days, especially when I stepped into a position on staff, what you're saying was actually true for me, this intimidation, not because Henry was intimidating, but like, how do I be the worship pastor in Henry Seeley's church? You know, like he can do it all, name it on a list and check, 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 he can do it. And I was actually just sharing with our staff at staff retreat this past week about this story. But I remember we went away to a staff retreat in the early days and I was kind of wrestling with some of those thoughts, not anything on Henry's part, but it was mostly just lies that I was believing in my own heart, in my own mind. And I'll never forget, Henry was praying over me at the staff retreat, and he said to me, "You don't have to wear Saul's armor anymore."
Wow.
And it was like God released me from this thing of, God hasn't actually called me to be Henry. He hasn't called me to walk in that calling. He's called me to be Andrew, and he's gifted me and he's equipped me with specific things that was actually made for this season. And I think over the years, I've learned how to lean into more of that calling, that anointing that he's given me, and recognizing, I remember God just speaking to me in those early days and saying, it's so obvious that he has placed me in this position. Like I said, my resume didn't give me this position. Like, he obviously opened the door. And I remember him saying to me, if I put you here, I'll give you everything you need. I'll equip you. I'll give you the anointing. I'll give you the authority to not only get by, but to do it really, really well. And so I think over the years, I've learned more and more how to lean into that and not walk in arrogance, but walk in confidence that God has called me. He's given me everything I need, and to lean into those things that make me who I am and why God has placed me here. And I think I'm forever just grateful for who Henry is, because he isn't the kind of leader who is over you all the time going, "You got this wrong, you got this wrong." He's the kind of leader that walks with you and allows you to grow and allows you to step into things. And obviously there's been moments along the way in our journey where he's come to me with ideas or thoughts or things that we should do. Yeah. And instead of being insecure with that, I'm actually so thankful for that, because I actually have a pastor who loves worship, who wants to make it better, who wants to grow what we're doing, the impact of what we're doing. And so I think embracing that instead of pushing back against it and realizing that actually we could be the best team, we could be the best partnership, that's how God created it to be. And last thing I'll say is this, there's just so much blessing in submission. And I've learned that more and more over the years, that the more I submit to my leadership, not that I just sit back quiet and don't say things I feel, but actually submit in the right kind of way, God blesses it. And I've seen the fruit of that in my life and in my ministry. And so, I'm really thankful. It's been an awesome season.
Brilliantly put.
It has been incredible. Yeah. And I know you didn't ask me this question, but I want to chime in on this, because I think it's actually such an important part of church life that I think a lot of churches, and we're not perfect at this by any means, but I think it is one area where we've seen a lot of great fruit, because I do think we've got a lot of that part of it figured out. Yeah. And again, there's always growth, there's always areas that, Andrew could probably tell you 20 things that he is like, well, I think, Pastor Henry could probably do a better job of this. And that's the beauty of being able to do this together in relationship, because you grow each other. Yeah. We're all in this together. Yeah. We are building the kingdom of God together, and we do it, arm in arm as much as anything else. But I do think, it is one of the struggles in church life, is that dynamic between the senior leaders and especially the worship pastor, I think is such a vitally important relationship in the context of church. Yeah. One that I think the enemy, with no coincidence, is hard at work to divide in every place that he can. Right. Because, I personally believe the power of worship and the word coming together. Worship isn't the warm-up for the word. Worship is actually laying foundation for people to receive the word. But the end result is ministry to God and ministry to people. Yeah. And that happens, with all of that together. And so, we have worked hard on that relationship, not because the relationships needed work because of conflict, but you have to be intentional about keeping in that place where that relationship is good, that there isn't a sense of somebody feeling insecure or intimidated in that role. What I personally see in a lot of places, I think, is pastors can be insecure about who God has brought them in that role. Right. And maybe because they're questioning whether or not it was God that actually brought that person in the first place. Okay. Or maybe they just went through a bunch of resumes and saw the person who, seemed most qualified. And because they made the decision, now they've got to, it's like if you build something, you've got to keep maintaining it.
Right.
If you let God build something, then God will maintain it. God will grow it and you steward it.
Yeah.
But I think that's been one of the parts of this journey for me of having to actually trust that God has brought us and is continuing to bring us the right people, because he knows our church, he knows our city, he knows what he wants to do through our church more than we do. Yeah. And so there has been a level of like, all right, God, these are the people that you've brought us. And with that, there's good, there's bad. We figure that out and we refine that and we grow that together. Yeah. I do see from time to time pastors who are like, I wish I had someone like that. And I wish I had someone like that. But I've been doing this for 30 years. I wasn't who I am now 30 years ago. Uh-huh. Andrew has been in this role for, over 8 years now. and has grown leaps and bounds. You know, he had talent, he had gift, he had a heart, but there's been so much growth in this last decade in his life. Yeah. And so people look at Andrew now and they're like, man, I wish I had an Andrew Holt on my team. I'm like, you actually probably do. You're right, just looking for...
Yeah, this is true.
You're looking for the version that's fully matured or at least matured to this point, you know? And most often God brings us seed. You know, he brings us people that we can actually invest in and shape. And so... You know, I know that was me adding my little piece to Andrew's response there, but I think it's such an important thing for people to understand that oftentimes we overlook seed because it doesn't look significant, but actually God brings us the seed to help steward that will grow with the orchard that he's placed us all together in, and that is the local church.
I love it. I really love it. I'm going to dig a little bit more on that, if that's okay, because you said something earlier, even in the context of this record, that... We know you, Henry, and we'll say it because you're probably too humble to say it, but you could have done this whole record by yourself in your basement without involving everybody else. But creating that creative space and freedom for the team to go and explore that is incredible. Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. It's very easy to look at your church and go, oh my goodness, they are just overwhelmed with talent and creatives. And obviously you're in Nashville, but there's a who's who of people that attend the Belonging that are involved. What is it about leading creatives that you've got a good handle on, or a good idea on, or a good ability to allow these creatives to really still be creative and bless the church and not hit some of the conflict that we see or hear about when that often happens in that dynamic?
Man, you know, I think identifying, like, heart and character are always going to win for me over gifting 10 days a week, if that makes sense. You know, there's plenty of gifted people out there, but our gift is not ours. Our gift is what has come from God. It's our character and our heart that we have to steward. And so I look for that in people. Right. And so, you know, I mean, Andrew's been leading worship since he was 14 years of age. But when he came into the Belonging, he wasn't necessarily at the experience level of some of the other worship leaders who are part of our team. Right. But what I saw in him was a heart for the church, or a heart for God, a heart for the church, and a heart just to serve. And so when we, you know, when we first hung out, he was like, why are you doing Planning Center? And I was like, well, we don't basically have a staff right now. Also, I'm mixing records full-time to pay the bills for the church. So he's like, let me just serve, you know? So that's what I look for. And to be honest, almost anybody that's on stage or involved in worship in our house, you know, from those who are very well known to those who you've never heard of or seen of before, they would all carry that same spirit of like, hey, you need me to do car park? You know, like, you need me to set up for baptisms? Like, we got a need in kids or youth, like, I'm there. And so I think that really has been part of the core fabric of developing and raising up people who, yes, they have a gift on their life, but it's not the gift that's actually the most special thing about them. It's their heart, it's their character. And that's what we've really looked for and tried to disciple in our house. And that's a really big deal. And so because of that, I think we've probably avoided a lot of conflict. Okay. There's not really a lot of competition. Yeah. In fact, there's zero competition within our team. Yeah. It's so life-giving for one another. And I think this is what people have marveled at along the way of like, you know, I never forget someone saying to me in the early days, they were like, man, tell me, like, off the record, what's it really like? You know, like, when you're, you know, in the back rooms, when you've got Natalie Grant and Hope Dust and Mia and, you know, these, and Carrie, like, what are they really like? Because, you know, they're all trying to do the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not in competition with one another. Right. Actually, the fact that they are doing similar things is an encouragement to one another. Right. And they've all found life in this house. And so there is no competition. Nobody's jealous of this person or that person. They're actually each other's greatest supporters. And I would say that our whole team kind of carries that same spirit. And I think that is what comes through in everything that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just to add to that, I think what's been created here is just an atmosphere and a place and a community where it's safe and where you feel... You know, like, I think a lot of churches, you get all the creative people and the ideas. We'll just hoard them all to ourselves. We'll pull them in and we'll try to just build this thing for our little community right here, like build a tower, you know? And I'll never forget one time, I think it was you, Henry, said this, like, we're not here to build a tower. We're here to build a table to where we all come to the table and we all bring who we are specific to that table.
Yeah.
But you think about a lot of our team, their stories are very similar to mine. They came to our church, whether it was in their basement or whether it was in those early days of church, and their lives got changed before they ever stepped foot on a platform to lead worship or to play drums or to be a part of producing things. Like, all the people that you would list that we're talking about got their lives radically changed here. And then they're serving from that place instead of serving from the church needs me, so I'm going to step into that role. It's actually, I have to be a part of this because God's changed me and I want to be a part of that. And it is really incredible. Like around the 10 year, we had like a worship night where we had 14 of our like main worship leaders from over the years be a part. And to look at this, I think Pastor Alex was actually saying this, like to look at that stage and to see all the people who have remained and have been a part. Not every season is like all flowers and roses. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's been hard seasons. Yeah. There's been moments where we've had to have conversations with our team. But I see so many people on that platform and on this record even who have remained, and the fruit of their life even is that they've remained and they've been planted. And I think it's not something that just happens. It takes a really secure and a real, really humble leader like Pastor Henry, who's willing to say, like, he could sit in his basement and make a whole record and it would be something. But if we brought everyone in, like how beautiful and how amazing is it? And that realization of like, I think sometimes as creatives, we are a little bit selfish and we're a little bit hold everything so tight because we're like, well, I think I know what's best, or I know what I think this, what this wants to be. But it takes a really secure person to say, actually, I'm going to open it up and allow a lot of people to come in. And that's the picture of the church. And I think that's the heart of God, is that he allows all of us to make up what the church is. I just love that that is our community, and you feel that. And that's why we have the people that we do. And that's why they've remained, I feel like, is that it is that place where they can come and be themselves and they can bring who God's created them to be to the table.
The fruit of that is in this album 10, because it is sonically diverse. We said that earlier, right? It represents so much variety in production and in voices featured through it. And it's that whole story of everybody bringing to that table and that diversity, which again, really stands out. And I guess that's really representative of the church itself as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and I know that you touched on this, Andrew, we have really not allowed insecurity to be a thing.
Right.
Like we have hit it head on with almost every person along the way.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think for creatives, the insecurity and the identity piece where we so often find our identity in what we do rather than who we are.
Yeah.
And because of that, then we become insecure because, well, I missed out on an opportunity here, or I was overlooked there, or... You know, I think when you can really deal with that sense of we as believers, we really have no place for insecurity, because it's not about what we achieve. It's about who we already are. And everything that we're achieving is just an overflow of who God has created us to be. And whether that's seen or unseen, you know, on stage or off stage, our validation doesn't come by what we do. It's through who we are. And so when we can live from that place, then you can be open-handed.
Yeah.
And you realize my identity is not wrapped in, you know, I mean, people have said that to me over the years of like, how was it for you stepping out of a place where you were leading, you know, almost every week, and then you're giving it over to people who are, some of them are way more influential and some of them are way less experienced than you. And for me, my identity is not as a worship leader. And in fact, if it had been, I would have really struggled as a leader in this season, because I would have still been trying to hang on to something. And I know that I still have something to bring as part of this community, but I don't need to lead worship to feel validated or significant in this. I know my position right now, and that position won't last forever.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a season where God will say, you've done what you need to do with the church. And hopefully that's not the next 2 or 3 years, but you know, at some point along the way, God's going to say, you've done what you needed to do. And now it's time to hand it over. And I think if we could live in that place, then we would realize if somebody flourishes in the kingdom, that doesn't mean we flourish less.
Yeah.
It means the kingdom flourishes. So we all flourish together.
It's awesome.
It's no surprise to me hearing you articulate that now. I think back to the recording when we chatted 2020, and you were telling me a lot of the Genesis story of the Belonging Co. And so many people that came to the basement that needed that safe space and needed to come and be there, and to some find healing, some find refreshing, but some just find a place where they were being reminded of their identity in Christ and not just the talents or giftings that they could have done. And it would be easy to imagine other churches approaching that differently and looking for what they can bring and not just who they are. So it really is no surprise now that 10 years on from that story, that's still a part of your DNA. I've been fortunate enough to visit your building and walk around, and even the messaging backstage that's communicating to people before they even enter any public space is just reminding of who they are and what they're doing and the calling that they bring and the importance. And
I love that you mentioned that messaging. I'm assuming that you are talking about our manifesto that's plastered in massive type on the back wall. But, you know, we have this manifesto that God really gave me in the very early stages of church. Actually, as I was designing the website, because we didn't have a web designer back then. Thank God for Squarespace. But I was, you know, I was sharing this with the church the other day. As I was building the website, there was this space, kind of almost like insert inspirational quote here, right, kind of thing. And as I was sitting there, I just quite honestly felt the Holy Spirit say, just type these words in. And it was, it's not strange, but it was like, okay, God, tell me what, you know? And I just started typing, you know, presence over presentation, intimacy over industry, people over position, encounter over entertainment, and Jesus over everything. Yeah. And I sat back and then I said to my wife, I was like, this is, I don't know what this is, but I just feel like God gave me this. And she's like, that's our manifesto. Like that's the manifesto right there. We don't need a mission statement. This is the, you know, these are the parameters. And so it's actually been amazing for us to walk this journey for 10 years and always have this reference point to come back to of, is the presence of God still more important to us than our presentation? Wow. Is our encounters with God still more important than being entertained? You know, is intimacy still more important than the industry that wants to consume, you know, our city and Christendom at large? You know, are people really still more important than the positions that they fill? Is Jesus really still the name that's on our lips every time we come together and worship? And so, you know, we made a decision a few years ago just to put that as big as and bold as we could in our backstage hallway, just as a reminder to our team, this is the framework that we serve from. Right. And these are guideposts that will keep us on track to who we're called to be as the church.
Yeah. I love it. I think what I love about that most is the intentionality of communicating that to the team. And then the team scream that loudly in all representations of the life of your church. But it's not coming just out of your mouth as these sound bites. Yeah. It is this real culture DNA manifesto. Yeah. I love it. And again, even like Jesus over everything, again, being on the album is amazing to hear that and hear that version
what
of it.
What a song.
Incredible song. Yeah, what a gift to you. Henry, as you look back over these 10 years and these 10 songs, you said this earlier, it's not all been roses and sunshine. There's obviously been hard times in leading anything. Do any of these songs take you back to a moment of that song being an anchor during a tough time? I'm not asking about the tough time. I don't want you to do that. But about the song particularly, have these songs been a blessing and carried you through some moments?
Yeah. You know, obviously every song on that record has some significance to me. And I'm honestly a bit of a sentimentalist. So that's why being 10 songs for me, it was hard because I'm like, oh, what about that song and that moment? Yeah. And, you know, remembering writing this and that moment that happened in worship. But, you know, there's a song there called You're Not Finished Yet. I wrote that song with Mia and Maggie Reed in probably 2017, I think it was. It was a song that, honestly, we booked this right for, I think it was a Friday afternoon, and which is was unusual. And it was either Thursday or Friday afternoon, and it was late in the day. And then Mia, she got held up at another riot, and she didn't make it there till late. And it just, I had somewhere else that we had to go that night, and we almost canceled the riot. Okay. You know, it was almost like, we just actually, let's just postpone it, and, you know. Thankfully, we didn't. And most of the song actually came pretty quickly. Maggie had this idea and we just kind of really built off it. It was a couple of days later and it was my wife was away traveling. And I think it was actually the next week. My wife was away traveling and I was down in the studio working on the demo. And I had built this wooden ladder for my son to climb the tree. Just, you know, he was probably 9 at the time. And he really wanted, you know, just he's been a boy, just wanted to go out and climb the trees and stuff. And so I built this ladder onto this tree. And as I was working away on the demo, knowing that my wife was out of town, I heard my son had come and told me that he was going to go out and play in the backyard. And then about 15 or 20 minutes later, I heard the back door open and I could just hear a little bit of commotion. I didn't know what it was, but there was something in my spirit said, go and check on this, you know. And so I go upstairs and my son is bleeding from his face. He's covered in dirt. He's got stuff in his mouth and he's not making any sense at all. He's kind of in and out. He lays down on the couch. He blacks out, comes to, blacks out again. And so I'm obviously incredibly concerned. And I figure out that he's actually fallen out of the tree from about 14 or 15 feet in the air. And he was, you know, not in a conscious state at all. I'm literally digging mud out of his mouth, trying to figure out what had happened. And basically he had lost his balance and he had fallen and he had landed actually on his neck sideways and, you know, kind of head first, but on his neck. And so, you know, this panic sets in of like, how badly is he injured? Yeah. Do I need to take him to the hospital? So I throw him in the car and I grabbed our daughter, Holly, and you know, she's probably 13 at the time, and she's sitting in the back trying to calm him down, and Taylor's in and out of consciousness. And he, every time he would come to, he's just asking for his mom, and Alex is away preaching. Yeah. And you know, this fear just honestly tried to come on me of like, you know, he's injured. He's badly injured, and he's a serious outcome here. And I remember driving as fast as I could to get him to the ER, and the Holy Spirit just saying, what's the song that you've just been working on? You know, wow. What is the song okay. that you've just been working on? It was like this reminder of God saying, I'm not done with Taylor yet. Yeah. You know, I'm not done. This is not the end of his story. Yeah. And you need to get out of fear right now, and you need to step into a realm of faith and begin to declare healing over him. And so, you know, for the next 40 minutes, he's passing in and out of consciousness, keeps waking up. He's completely disorientated, obviously just not in a good state. And this fear that I can feel knocking at the door, just saying there's internal injuries, all this sort of stuff. And I'm just saying, God's not done with him yet. God's not done with him yet. And we pull in the hospital emergency area, and I pick him up and I take him inside, and I sit him in the seat. And then he just sits up and he looks at me and he goes, Dad, I just feel like I had the weirdest dream. It was like I kept waking up asking where Mum was, wondering what was going on. And so, you know, all of a sudden he just came to, and he began to tell me what had happened. He lost his balance and he's fallen on his neck, and they test, you know, checked him all out, and he was completely fine. And, amazing. You know, we were able to drive him home that night. And it was just, you know, it was just a wild reminder that, you know, these songs that we're writing, they're not, you know, they're not just nice lyrics. You know, it's not just a nice thought. It's actually God giving a seed for something that's going to become a faith partnership, if that makes sense. And so, you know, and I know that song in particular has had, there's been many stories that we've heard along the way. You know, Natalie Grant has shared her whole story, how the last song she sang before she went in for cancer removed from her thyroid was You're Not Finished Yet. And the doctors had told her that she may never sing again, that her voice may be paralyzed. And, you know, she sang that song as a declaration. And that's why, honestly, her singing it on the record was so powerful because it was like, this is a song that was the last thing that she potentially had sung. But her voice came back stronger than ever. And, you know, now that moment when she goes into the bridge, I'm like, I have to pull the car over. You know, I'm like, it's so powerful. Yeah.
Incredible.
So, yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. It reminds me of a conversation I had with Cody on the podcast not that long ago. And he said something really insightful about songwriting, that often when a song is written, there's something of the revelation or the encounter around the song that gets kind of zipped up in the song and then travels and carries. And you then hear stories of people singing and leading and being ministered to through that song and almost having a similar experience to the genesis of that song, which is phenomenal. So amazing. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. We're nearly out of it. I'm going to ask you both one more question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Incredible collection of songs. Really love it. Love the fact that we're celebrating 10 years of all that's been going on in your church. Here's the question. When you look back over the 10 years, I guess there's two questions. What are you most proud of? And what is the impact that you've seen on the city of Nashville through God's hand on your church? And either of one of you can jump in first, but I'd love to hear from you both.
Brother, I'll start and let you wrap it up. Man, I think a lot of the things we've even talked about in this conversation, like I'm proud to be able to be a part of a community of people who are really in it for the right reasons, who have really worked hard to keep the main thing, to keep Jesus at the center of everything we do. And to me, this collection of songs just honestly celebrates that you see all these people and all the songs, but at the end of the day, I'm really proud and thankful that we are a community of people who keep Jesus at the center of everything we do. And because of that, I believe that's why the fruit of these songs is there, because we've kept him at the center and pursued his presence over everything else. And I just makes me expectant even for this next season of church life. And it does feel like we've done a lot, but I do think God has so much more in store, and how exciting it is that we get to do this together. And, you know, we're not just two of us at the forefront of this, but it's all of us together asking God, like, what do you want to do in our city? And how do you want to change? Even your question of how has Nashville changed? Like, growing up in Nashville, I grew up here.
Okay.
And this city is a different place than it was 10 years ago. And obviously we don't give all the credit to the belonging. But I do think when God begins to move, when the Spirit of God begins to move in a place in, like Nashville, things begin to shift, and things that even the world around us don't understand, but we see it. And so I see the fruit of that in my own city and in my family. And so to know that it's only been 10 years and how much more God can do, you know, to me, that just stirs up my faith, knowing that God is just getting started and he's always moving. And the sky is the limit, honestly, of like what Henry said earlier, that from here to eternity, like eternity is the limit of what God can do. And I'm just really expectant and thankful and excited.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, what I'm most proud of is the people who have really allowed God to do the work in their lives.
Right.
And they've remained not just in the easy seasons, but in the in the tough seasons where God's been like, all right, here's the pruning. And they've actually remained. Mm. And now we're seeing fruit in many different ways. But I think especially in the area of authority when it comes to worship leading, and not just, you know, vocal talent or anything like that, but it's there's authority there.
Yeah.
And to see that depth in the team as a leader and as a friend, that's the thing that makes me most proud of everything that we've done.
Yeah.
You know, I think the like the records, they've never been the main goal, and they never will be the main goal.
Yeah.
They're an overflow of the health of our team.
Yeah.
And God is, at the end of the day, God's the one that breathes on them. We steward them as best as we can. It still blows my mind when I hear of songs ending up in the most random of places and having an impact. But to me, honestly, I think that's the fruit of people who have submitted and surrendered to God and his ways.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what we're seeing. And I think, you know, as Andrew said, just even in our city, you know, the belonging is not the answer to Nashville. Jesus is. And we are one of many incredible churches here in our city. I do think there is something unique on the belonging. I do think we've had the incredible privilege to help be a catalyst to break open some things spiritually in our city. But again, there's things that we're reaping the benefits of so many other pastors and leaders and churches who have sown for many years and even in this last decade. And so, you know, it really honestly is a privilege for us to be part of what God's doing in Nashville. And, you know, that's what we hope to keep doing.
Amazing. I was in Nashville recently, but the time before, 6 months before that, we had a day off. And I think one of the guys from our studios here said, I'm going to take you to this really cool record store in Nashville.
Yeah.
It might be Third Man Records, if I'm saying the right. So he goes, I'm going to take you. It'll be fun. There's animatronics. There's all sorts there. You're going to love it. We jumped in the Uber and it's our day off. We're not expecting to kind of really have any conversations around what we do. And the Uber driver starts asking what we do for a living and then goes in to tell us about this amazing church that he'd found and how he had found faith and found kind of like a complete change in his direction. And it was the belonging. And I remember that kind of story because as I asked the question, what impact does it have on Nashville? There's so many stories like that that probably you guys don't even hear about, but we just, by a God coincidence, were able to sit in the back of his Uber as he's telling us about
it.
So awesome.
I mean, that stuff never gets old.
No.
Never.
No, absolutely. Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I'm excited to chat to you about album 20 when that comes out in 10 years' time. And we look at the 20 songs over the last 20 years.
That's when the country version of Peace Be Still is coming out.
Yes, we're waiting for that one. That's been amazing.
I thought it was going to be your rap video.
Come back in 10 years to find out.
We'll see what happens. Guys, bless you. Thank you so much. I hope to see you both in person really soon and get to come and worship with you at your church.
Yeah.
But
thank you
for everything. Congratulations on the album. Congratulations on 10 years. And for anybody listening, they can check out obviously all the resources for this on our site. But I'd really encourage anybody that finds themselves in Nashville to come and spend a Sunday with you. Henry touched on it, but I can remember being in the room in your new building. I think it may have been a worship together and you guys led the final set of the final night. And there really was something really unique on the way that you led. And I knew the songs and I know you've got an incredible team of musicians, but there was an authority in the way that you led on your home turf, in your home church. So I just think it's unparalleled. So yeah, we'd really encourage people to go and be part of that and be blessed by it. But guys, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.